Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Clubhouse Talk. We are here with your two regular hosts, Kylie and Brett, coming back at you live on a Thursday night, November 3rd of the year 2022. And we're sitting here, we're getting deep into college football talk. College basketball is right around the corner. It's a it's an exciting time of year, isn't it, Brett?
Very, very. I mean, it's the most sports you're going to get. I mean, some days there's the World Series going on. College basketball is right around the corner. College football is going on right now. NFL, there's some great UFC fights towards the end of the year, which I don't know about you, Kylie, but I love those. So it's just awesome all around. Yeah, hockey too. Hockey just started.
I know. It is sports galore from now. And then, hey, later in the month, World Cup starts up. So
I'm so pumped for that too. We'll need to do a preview pod for that.
I mean, it's going to be a busy, busy month. So if you are not a sports fan, what are you doing watching this podcast? But if you are a sports fan, which I assume you are if you're watching, I think you're going to be watching a whole lot of TV over the next month and a half. So apologies to any of the significant others out there that may or may not like sports so much. Your TV will be consumed with a lot of ESPN, a lot of Fox, a lot of TNT, TBS, all of those channels will be running through over the next 2 months, but it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, not too much HGTV going on right now.
Yeah, no, not a lot of HGTV. Frankly, probably not a lot of Netflix going on either. Too many live sports, and that's consuming your whole day. Not enough time.
Hulu does have live sports, though.
Hulu?
Hulu has live sports.
Hulu does have live sports. You know, we got to stop giving out these free ad reads. We got to get one of these people to sponsor us if we want to talk about them so much.
No free shout outs.
Maybe that's what we need to do if we want to get some.
Take a little inspiration from old Will Compton there.
Yeah. No free reads.
No free shout out.
But no. Let's jump into this. It's a busy time. We're both busy. There's a lot going on. Let's dive right into this. We talked about it last week, what we thought our first college football playoff rankings were going to be. And I think we were on point. We both had Tennessee 1. I'm trying to remember. I think we both had Do we both have UGA 2, or did you have Ohio State 2? I know I had UGA 2. But
I had Ohio State 2.
Okay, so you got Ohio State 2, UGA 3, and we were both very surprised to see the committee knock down Michigan, seemingly for their out-of-conference schedule being so weak. They put them at 5, and surprisingly, they put Clemson at 4. The ACC is getting propped up by a couple of wins there by Clemson for some back end ACC teams that bottomed out the top 25 for the college football rankings this week. The Wake Forest, NC State, Syracuse, they kind of all fell there between 20 and 25, which really bolsters up Clemson's their resume. But obviously, those teams are going to end up taking some more losses. So I think Clemson's resume is really going to be hard for them to stay in if they don't stay undefeated. So that was one of the surprising things. I guess, how surprised were you, Brett? I mean, I put it for me as a scale of 1 to 10. I'd say I was about a 5 on that one. Like, I wasn't blown away, but I was definitely surprised.
Yeah, I can't say I was necessarily surprised. I mean, Clemson's been in how many playoffs in a row? I mean, other than last year. But they've been in it so much. I mean, the national media just, and the committee themselves all kind of gear themselves towards recency bias and Clemson just because they've been there so much. And until they lose, I mean, it's hard to put a team like Michigan over them.
Yeah, it's interesting. You get a lot of recency bias with Clemson, and we'll talk about it with Alabama. But you maybe don't get the same recency bias with Georgia, the defending national champions, and they haven't lost, and they're number 3. I'm not saying it's not a deserving ranking, but it brings up the point of a little bit of a talking out of both sides of your mouth. We dropped down past Michigan at 5, and I alluded to it a second ago, Alabama at 6 and TCU at 7, which I thought was, one, disrespectful to TCU, and two, really shocking, because this tells me that you're going to have an undefeated Big 12 team if they're going to make the playoff. That they don't like TCU enough that I don't think TCU can lose and still get in.
I don't even know if they honestly might put a 2-loss Bama. This wouldn't happen, but I think they'd put a 2-loss Bama team in over TCU if it came down to those two. A 1-loss TCU.
I think they would be much happier. I think what it says is the Pac-12 is primed to take a spot this year. They may not have anybody there in the top 7, but you've got Oregon with 1 loss, USC with 1 loss, Utah. They have 2 losses. They are probably out. So that would be, I think, the only way that the Pac-12 would get denied is if Utah won. They'll have the loss to Florida, and then they have the loss to UCLA. But UCLA, USC, and Oregon are all very much alive for it, assuming that they finish out with 1 loss. So I think the Pac-12 for once is looking very pretty. The Big 12's only hope is TCU. The ACC has got to keep Clemson. So it's not a guarantee that the SEC is going to get 2 teams in. But I will say that I think that the loser of the Tennessee-Georgia game this weekend is, especially if it's Tennessee, is going to be sitting in a good spot with potential to kind of backdoor in, as we've seen the last few years the SEC has, getting in even with a loss and not a conference championship.
Yeah, I really do think that one of the two of the Big Ten or the SEC will get 2 teams in.
I think that Clemson or Michigan being at 5 will show that it's going to be hard for them to get in without a. I think Ohio State would have a better chance of getting in
as a 1-loss.
As a 1-loss, I think Michigan would.
Agreed. Completely agreed. But I mean, as we saw last year, Ohio State's not unbeatable for Michigan anymore. They have a good resume. I mean, Ohio State's blown everyone out they've played.
I know it's going to be. You know, it's really, really fun that this is the most amount of teams I can remember being in the playoff discussion this late in the season. I mean, we talk about I think that there are about 13 teams you could say are squarely in the conversation to make the college football playoff as we stand here today. I think Tennessee, I think Alabama, I think Georgia, I think Ole Miss, I think – or in the SEC, I think in the ACC, Clemson's definitely in it. UNC would need a lot of help, but I think that they potentially could still be in. There's 6. You look at the Big 12, you got TCU, and that's it there. 7. In the Big 10, I think you've got 3 teams in Ohio State, Michigan, and I even think if Illinois were to somehow run the table and then beat Michigan and or Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, being a 1-loss Big Ten champion, I think would get them in with their 1-loss being a very controversial loss on a bad call. That brings you to 10 teams. Then you look at the Pac-12, and I said USC, UCLA, and Oregon are all very much in it. So, I mean, this is fun. This is 13 teams here as we stand here the first week of November. We got 4 games left for most people, and yeah, everybody's in it.
Yeah, I think this is a dream scenario if you like chaos in college football. It's going to be hard picks. Whatever it is, it's going to be a hard pick for the committee to put 4 teams in. And I know not everyone loves the idea of the 12-team playoff, but I mean, this year's the perfect example. You have so many good teams that are deserving of being in the spot to be in the playoff or even be talked about it.
This would be the year that you would desperately want. You would really want that 12-team playoff.
Yeah, right.
Here.
I mean, me and you talked about it the other day. I mean, there's potential for 10 teams to have 1 loss. If everyone plays their cards right, that's insane.
Yeah, and it's like, what on earth are you gonna do, and how are you gonna pick these teams? And it's gonna be fascinating to see how this shakes out. Obviously, we're gonna have a lot of teams getting losses. We will talk about Tennessee, Georgia here in a minute, but you'll have Ohio State, Michigan still have to play. you'll have to have what two of those Pac-12 teams play each other in the Pac-12 championship game. So that'll
UCLA and USC still play in the regular season as well.
Yeah, USC, UCLA.
Likely for a bid in the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah, probably the winner of that game will be in. The loser will be out, probably playing Oregon, or probably the winner. It'll be the Oregon winner of Oregon, Utah is what it'll likely be. So they still play before the end of the year. There's a lot of really, really good games left before the season's over. So I'm absolutely thrilled. This is going to be a whole lot of fun the last 4 weeks.
Right. Yeah, and I completely agree. I'm very excited. Very excited to see how things shake out.
So let's talk about the big games this weekend. There's a handful of them. I will wait to talk about obviously the big of the big here before the weekend or the of the weekend. We'll talk about that one last. But let's break this down. We like to go in chronological order as you're going to be watching these games. So first up, I want to see, we talked about TCU. Any worry for TCU to have a Big 12 cannibal type of game and lose at home to Texas Tech after just this brutal stretch that they've been on? They've answered the bell each time. Any reason to think that the Horned Frog should be worried about the Red Raiders coming to town?
No, and I have this one on my card. TCU is an 8.5-point favorite. I like the odds on that. I think TCU has a really good quarterback in Max Duggan, and I just don't think the Red Raiders are going to be able to stop them on defense, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that if this game was in Lubbock where some weird things happened, maybe, but I don't see this happening. I don't see this happening for TCU at home. Fuck with you. I like TCU probably to win by 10 or 14 points. I think that 8.5 is a good call on your part. You move forward and there's a lot of really good games probably that don't have large national implications, but you go to the 3:30 game. It is probably the biggest game in the SEC East in 20 years. I would say the last time the SEC East had a game this big was Tennessee, Florida in 2001, when it was 1-3, I believe the numbers were, which is exactly what Tennessee, Georgia is, depending upon what ranking you look at. The AP poll has as a 1-2. With Georgia being the one, the college football playoff has Tennessee being the one, Georgia being the three. So depends on how you want to look at it, but the Vols going down on the road, going between the hedges in Athens. It is an 8-point spread to Georgia. Break it down from your outsider's perspective, Brett. How do you see this game going? Does Tennessee, do they have the firepower to break down Georgia's defense? Or is this going to be one where the Vols just don't have enough and Georgia's too stacked for the Vols to handle?
I think this is going to be a case of the unstoppable force, meaning the immovable object. I think it's going to be a really good game. One of the best offenses in the country, probably the best offense in the country, not one of, versus one of the best defenses in the country. This one's definitely marked on my calendar to watch after I get back from Lincoln on Saturday. It's such a tough game to pick. I could see it go either way. Obviously, I'm cheering for the Vols. But if I had to give you a pick, I'm not going to give you a winner, but I will give you a betting pick. Georgia, last I checked, was an 8-point favorite.
Yep.
I would take Tennessee to cover that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, actually, I know a lot of people are in that mindset. BetMGM, who's one of the larger online sports books legalized in the U.S., the states that have it, they posted out a stat earlier today. I want to say it was 95% of the money is on Tennessee and 97% of the bets are on Tennessee. So the public is absolutely riding the balls.
Just so weird how the line hasn't gone down. I don't quite understand that. I mean, I understand that Vegas has their limitations to where they'll move the line, but I don't know.
That tells me Vegas really, really likes this spot for Georgia, and they think that they're going to clean house, and they're taking themselves, they're banking on Georgia being Georgia and being able to win some money here. Because if you had told me that maybe the bets were high, but the money was closer to 50-50 and you're getting some big sharps in on Georgia, it would make sense why they were keeping it the same. But their liability is very high at this point. It's 95% liability. If Tennessee covers, they're going to be way down. And if Georgia covers, they're going to have a heck of a Saturday. I think this game comes down to a couple of key positions. Georgia's offense is actually way better than a lot of people realize. Tennessee is the number one total offense in the nation. Georgia's number two. Georgia is able to score, and they have been all year. The thing that I'm going to be curious to see is if Georgia can get their elite tight ends into bad matchups on Tennessee's linebackers and or safeties, because their wide receivers are not great. They're not going to burn Tennessee's corners, but those tight ends, Brock Bowers, Darnell Washington, they are elite, and if they can get them into some bad positions for Tennessee, I think it would be very, very hard for Tennessee to stop Georgia from scoring. And then on the flip side, I think the most important part of this game is going to be Tennessee's run game versus Georgia's run defense. The Vols are one of the most balanced teams in the nation. Everybody thinks of Tennessee being this high-flying, throw the ball all over the place, chuck it around the yard, but they're predicated upon running the ball first. They actually run the ball more times than they pass the ball per game. They run for over 200 yards. They pass for over 300 yards per game. This is a very proficient rushing offense, and it's how they keep themselves able to chuck the ball deep, is because the defense has to they have to respect the run. So if Tennessee is getting stopped for 1 or 2 yards of carry every time, and they're looking at second and eights, and they're looking at third and sevens, it's going to be a really, really long afternoon for Tennessee at the offensive end. It'll give Georgia a chance to hold Tennessee 30 points or less, which is really the breaking number for a Kirby Smart team. They're one and nine if they give up more than 30 points. So if Georgia can keep Tennessee under 30, Kirby teams tend to do really, really well. Tennessee scores on everybody. They've put up 30 points, I believe, in now 11 or 12 straight games now. So I think those are the two sides of the ball that you really gotta watch out for, and the matchup, I should say. I personally won't make a pick. I'm way too superstitious on it. But I will say for the listeners asking, I will be there in person. I got my tickets today. I couldn't afford to pass this one up. I forked over the money. We'll worry about those later. I'm really pumped. This is going to be an all-time atmosphere. I'm excited to see. I saw Bama in Neyland. I saw what Tennessee does with a big-time atmosphere. Time to go see what one of these things feels like on the road.
Yeah, I'm excited for you, man. That's going to be so fun.
It's going to be electric. I'm going to go sit there and get barked at by a bunch of grown men wearing dog collars. That is what is in my future on Saturday afternoon.
Ooh, sounds like a good night at Hot Topic.
Yeah, Georgia fans are an interesting bunch. So let's go to the night game. And that is typically the biggest game of the weekend in the SEC when these two teams match up. And the fact that this is also a top 10 matchup and it's still not the biggest game is absolutely wild. But you got number 6 Alabama going on the road to Baton Rouge, Death Valley at night. LSU is a 13.5 point dog at home. What do you like here, Brett?
Well, looking at the weather, it looks like it might be a little bit rainy. So if that affects Alabama's ability to throw the ball at all, I think this is a tighter game than a lot of people think, but I still do give the edge to Alabama. I think LSU is a little bit of a paper dragon. I think they're winning games, but they're still not impressing me, and I don't think Brian Kelly is gonna have the tricks up his sleeve to beat Saban.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee, where they got Bama was they were able to exploit matchups on the outside, and they were able to do so because they could get Jalin Hyatt on a safety because Alabama feared the run, and they had the wide receivers to be able to execute. I don't know if LSU is going to be able to run the ball enough to make Alabama respect the run, bring up the extra safety, and not just play a two deep cover high. Nothing gets past you. I think that will be the game plan for them against LSU. Keep everything in front of them. Be a lot like what Tennessee did to LSU. I want so badly to think that LSU is going to make this a game, but we haven't seen a vintage Nick Saban performance with his team. And I think that comes this week. I think this is the one that he's going to get his team ready for. They're coming off the bye. They're going to have some stuff ready, have themselves cleaned up. I just see this being the quintessential Nick Saban. Let's remind everybody who we are. Take care of our business. We've had our loss, and let's get rolling right in time for December. And so I got Alabama, and I got Bama covering this game. I think this could be a 17 or 20 point game.
Yeah. I can totally see that too. I'm still sticking with my gut. I think it's going to be closer than people think, but then again, I've been wrong a lot this year.
I'm expecting a very big day from Jahmyr Gibbs on Saturday. I think that this will be a really big afternoon for him, a really big night for him. Let's go over to Manhattan, Kansas, where Kansas State last week obliterated Oklahoma State. Absolutely obliterated them. And it was, I think that final was 48-0. I don't like to toot our own horn too much, but I will say, I was one of the very few, I think, across the nation that was on Kansas State on Saturday, and I was very proud of that pick. And so, do the Wildcats have it in them this week to knock off the Longhorns? They are a 2.5-point dog at home. Obviously, Texas has Quinn Ewers back. They're healthy. Are the Longhorns going to be able to get this done on the road in a very tough environment, as we just saw Oklahoma State realize last week? Or is Kansas State going to wilter and quote, Texas is back chance are going to be picking up more steam again?
Oh, this is such a tough pick as well. My gut wants to say Texas, but Texas always chokes in big moments. And this is going to be one of the bigger games on their schedule this year. And it doesn't matter if Adrian or Will Howard's playing. They both have played awesome this year. So give me the Wildcats. Deuce Vaughn's one of the best running backs in the country. So is Bijan Robinson, obviously. But I think quarterback play, I mean, Quinn Ewers has played good this year. But I'm taking either Martinez or Will Howard over him in this game at home.
Yeah, I like your pick there. I like the Wildcats at home. It seems weird when you're looking at the names of, you know, the logos on the side of the helmet, but this Kansas State team's really good. They're a very, very good football team, and I like them to get this job done at home. I think they're going to roll off the momentum of last week. They'll be able to put up enough points to stay with Texas. I would imagine this will actually be a pretty high-scoring game. This might look and feel like a normal Big 12 game, like a 41-38 type of ball game. So I like the Wildcats at home getting the small outright win there as a small dog. Last but not least, we don't have to spend a lot of time on the spread, but Clemson's going on the road to Notre Dame, and this spread surprises me. It's a 3.5-point spread in South Bend. This seems lower than what I expected. I mean, I know Notre Dame's they're a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde team, and South Bend's not the easiest place in the world to go, but is Clemson going to fall here, or is this going to be one that Vegas thinks they know something and they don't really know something?
As crazy as it sounds, and I hate Clemson, but I got Notre Dame in this. Flat out, I got Notre Dame.
Woo!
I can't give you a reason why, and it's probably a little bit of bias because I don't like Clemson, but give me Notre Dame. They look great the past couple weeks, and I call it a hunch.
I'll tell you what, If Notre Dame wins this game Saturday, is the ACC out of playoff?
Yes.
I think so, too, because I think that North Carolina's only slight chance to make it is beating an undefeated Clemson in the ACC championship game. And I think that if both ACC championship game participants lose to what will likely be an 8-4 Notre Dame team, that's not very good for either of those squads. So, yeah, I have Clemson winning this game, but if Notre Dame actually pulls this off, then I think the ACC will be eliminated and the Pac-12 will be rejoicing, and so will the Big 12, as they will be, and the SEC, frankly, because the SEC will be like, let's go get two teams in. Let's go get our two teams. Depending upon how things shake up on Saturday. So we'll have a much clearer picture of what likelihoods you're talking about two teams, I think, after this week, especially in the SEC, based off the Tennessee-Georgia one. I think Tennessee is in a much better position to come back and get into the top four if they lose this game, because they're number one to begin with. But if Georgia loses this game, I think they're going to have a really, really hard time climbing back in. Unless they would absolutely have to have Tennessee roll through and win the SEC championship. And even at that, I think it will be very difficult to think about what happens in the conferences. So it will be quite exciting. I will be listening to a lot of football on my way home on Saturday, hopefully after a very, very joyous Saturday afternoon between the hedges for me. I'm 1-2 there. My one was the Josh Dobbs Hail Mary game. That was a very fun afternoon for me. That was
What do they call that? They had a name for that blown coverage too, didn't they?
Which side? Or, well, because Georgia had their own Hail Mary before that, and then it's the Dobbs nail boot. That's what the name of it is.
I wanted to call it the Immaculate Reception, but that's definitely a Nebraska thing.
The Immaculate Reception, yeah, that's Nebraska.
That was Matt Davidson catching some of Scott Frost passes in the end zone. I forgot the tip.
Yeah, that was the Juwan Jennings. It's just the Dobbs nail boot after the hobnail boot, which was a Georgia highlight against Tennessee in 2001. But nonetheless, let's get a little bit of college basketball talk in here before we wrap up. It might be a short pod tonight, surprisingly, but let's get some college basketball talk in, because we start up on Monday with games. I believe Monday is the first day of games. At least I know it is for Tennessee. I don't know if there's
any. It is. Everyone plays on Monday. Every single college basketball school plays Monday.
Okay. So Monday is the official opening of the season. I'll read you off some of the top 25 here. UNC, Gonzaga, Houston, Kentucky, Kansas, Baylor, Duke, UCLA, Creighton coming at 9, Arkansas 10, Tennessee 11, Texas, Indiana, TCU, Auburn, Villanova, Arizona, Virginia, San Diego State, Bama, Oregon, Michigan, Illinois, Dayton, Texas Tech. Pretty well-rounded around the country. I know you're really, really pumped up about your Blue Jays this year.
Yeah, and I kind of want to give a little insight to my fandom. So Creighton, for those of you who don't know, is in Omaha. It is not on the East Coast. a lot of people are surprised it's in Omaha, but so Nebraska basketball is not a thing. They're terrible in the Big Ten. So growing up in Omaha, I went to Creighton games growing up all the time with my family. So we used to have season tickets, actually. So I grew up a Jaysker, as we call it out here. Creighton basketball fan, Nebraska football fan. So I'm a big Creighton basketball fan, and I love the Creighton Blue Jays this year. CBS released their top 100 players, and all five of Creighton starters were on it. And I thought that was beautiful.
Eep.
John Rothstein, and that name might not ring a bell to some of you. He's a college football analyst or college basketball analyst, absolute nut for college basketball. He gave us his number 3 ranking preseason.
Yeah, he's the top analyst, I would say, out there for at least the national analyst. So,
right. Yeah. So yes, I'm very excited for college basketball season. It's a little refreshing going from Nebraska football being so bad to Creighton potentially being so good.
That's going to be a fun time there in Omaha. And, you know, I share a lot of your optimism for my Vols in basketball, because they looked really, really good, supposedly, in a close scrimmage against Michigan State. Tom Izzo said that Tennessee is, quote, final for good. That was coming from Izzo after the scrimmage. And then Tennessee went out last week and absolutely smoked Gonzaga in a charity scrimmage at Gonzaga. Obviously, it's a scrimmage. I know it's not that big a deal, but they put up over 100 points on them. They looked really, really good. Did that without one of their best players in Josiah Jordan James. I think that this Tennessee team is going to be stupid deep. They are like 9-10 deep in this rotation, legitimately. They're going to get a lot of production from a lot of different players. They don't have the star freshman in Kennedy Chandler this year, but I absolutely think the Vols have enough to be able to repeat as SEC tournament champions and hopefully be able to get Rick Barnes some postseason success. But this is a top 10 team. I know they're ranked 11. I think that they're going to easily be a top 10 team come the end of the year.
Yeah, and pray it doesn't happen, but if the Vols and the Cream Blue Jays match up, that's going to be a fun game to watch. Lots of offense.
Brett, if that happens in March Madness, you and I don't care where it is, we will go and we will watch that game together.
Yes, I agree. I'll shake your hand virtually right now as we do for this call.
I don't care if it is the West region. I will find a way to make myself out there for that game. It will be a blast.
I find it hard to believe either of us would get in the West region.
I do too. I'm just, it could be a far ways away, but we're going to make it work. So maybe we'll have to meet in Houston at the Final Four.
Well, once the Vols are playing the Blue Jays in the national championship, we'll both be there. So I'll just see you there.
Oh, perfect. Let's talk a little bit about the Final Four before we hop up out of here. You got an idea of who you think are your top four teams, who you expect to be there in Houston come April?
Yeah, so I'll give you my top four seeds. And these aren't broken out by region or anything because top four seeds are top four seeds. My number one overall seed, and this is a little bit chalky because a lot of people are really high on this team, is the North Carolina Tar Heels. They return a ton of firepower from last year's squad. And I think the coach is really going to have them rolling this year. The ACC seems to be a little bit down this year. Virginia and Duke are both still pretty good, but other than that, there's not a ton of great teams. So I think they roll through their conference slate. They play a good out-of-conference schedule, but give me the North Carolina Tar Heels for my one. The Baylor Bears also is a one seed.
Again, another team.
Very solid team. Another team that returns a lot. They're going to be missing Benedict Mathurin, who went to the NBA. But I really do enjoy watching that team a lot. And I just misspoke. Benedict Mathurin played at Arizona. That is my bad. I cannot think of the guy who just left. Kylie, you might need to help me out with this.
Left Baylor? Left
Baylor. Yeah. This is going to kill me. All you listeners out there, I am so sorry.
Matthew Meyer transferred.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Or no, he came in. Never mind.
And
Matthew Meyer went to Illinois.
Maybe it's that. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But nonetheless, Baylor is going to be a very well-coached team. They're going to be loaded, and I have them as a one seed. My third one seed is the Indiana Hoosiers. They have been down recently, but they are really poised for a breakout season, honestly. I won't go too much in depth of them. And then lastly is the Houston Cougars. They've been so great the past couple of years, and I don't see them slipping at all. They're 1-5. They're just a solid team. Marcus Sasser's back. Keanu Edwards is back.
Houston making the Final Four. It's in City would be pretty cool to see.
That'd be awesome.
You get a bunch of fans there, obviously.
The reason why I didn't include Creighton in that is because I don't want to jinx myself. I would love to see Creighton
there. That's fair. I'm going to agree with you on the Tar Heels. I think that they're, I mean, they are the number one team in the country. I think they're going to prove to be far and away the best team in the country from the end of the year. This team is just so stacked. They're so young last year. They made that great run through the March Madness bracket. I think they're going to be able to build off that, only get better. I like what they have. Yeah, North Carolina is going to be a top seed, I think, come March Madness. I got Kansas bringing it back. I think that they're just going to continue to be an extremely solid team there in the Big 12. I think it'll be them. You know, they're going to have to obviously go through a fist fight of the Big 12 there. Kansas, Baylor, Texas, all right, or TCU, all very good teams are in the top 15. But I think they'll be able to work their way through. UCLA, I think it's about time for them to, quote unquote, make a little bit of a comeback. They weren't as loud last year. I think that they're going to be back. I like the pieces that they have. It's not a very difficult schedule out there in the Pac-12 this year. It's not as deep as it has been. I like UCLA to be able to grind through their schedule. And then last but not least, I don't know who it's going to be, but I'm going to tell you it's going to be an SEC team. It's going to be Kentucky, Arkansas, or Tennessee. One of those three teams is going to be a one seed from the end of the year. Those three teams are all just stupid deep, stupid good. I think that one of those three games is going to be a one seed and probably make a very deep run in the NCAA tournament, but I just don't know who it is. Probably will come down to who stays the healthiest, to be honest. It could be any of those three. So, yeah. That is who I got. Brad, anything else here tonight before we wrap it up? I know it was a quick pod tonight. We kind of rapid fired through everything, but I just want to say
go Vols. That's all I got.
I appreciate it, man. And I will respond back with a go Scurs. I hope you can pull off the upset at home against Wisconsin this weekend. Maybe a little. Oh, is it Minnesota? Wisconsin next week?
Wisconsin is 2 weeks from now after Michigan.
My bad.
Wisconsin second to last and Iowa last.
I still do think that you can get the Gophers. I think that they're gettable. So it would be another really nice notch on the belt there for Mickey Joseph. So. Yep, go Vols, go Scurs. I will hopefully not get in a fight and not get arrested in Athens, Georgia. And we will be back with you guys next week talking about a Vols thrashing of the Dogs between the Hedges.